The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is finally Friday, October 11th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. Today I plan to vent, right? I plan to vent because this week has been interesting. It has been interesting because so many things happened where I said, man, I wonder if anyone did any analysis of what went right. What went wrong, what should have gone, right? And I said, sometimes it's lonely being here, asking tough questions, challenging the status quo. Say, man, I don't like it. Risking yourself to say, boy, I ain't get no more investment in this anymore because you complain too much, Cecil. Say, Cecil, you complain too much. And so it's not about complaining. You want a better Bahamas. And if I have to uplift, turn over one or two tables, get a whip, and say, get out of this house, right? Because it's sacred. I got to do these things. And if at the end someone have to drag me and put me on some kind of cross because of it, it is what it is. But before I get to that, I have a guest today. I have a guest today because the guest is able to make me smile and forget my woes, forget my need to complain, to forget my need to agitate for change, to forget my need to say, man, we could do better now. We could do better as Bahamians. We could do better as a country. We should demand more, right? Don't worry about politics because my politics come later. That's election time. But during this time, I just want us to do well, to celebrate ourselves properly. So I said, yes, guess, come. Come and make me smile because I want to celebrate myself and you tend to make me smile because of your efforts, because of the efforts that you have partnered with, because of the decisions that you have done to promote the Bahamas in a different way. Today, I have a friend of mine. I have my friend Christopher Davis. Christopher Davis has, I don't even know your chieftain name now. He's being honored as a chieftain now. I sometimes just call him John Qua. You know, that's John Carl, what you said, right? But that's Christopher Davis. I know Christopher Davis for a long time. And this particular conversation is, in fact, was our initial meeting. And I'm going to remind him about it because I didn't preempt him about the conversation before. About 10, 12 years ago, around October 3rd, 4th, 5th, yeah, you know where you're going now, right?
Yeah, I know. Just where you're going.
I had a debate about Columbus. I'm a pro Columbus statue fan, and out of the blue, someone's come and give a whole completely different narrative, right? He was lobbying that we move Discovery Day and the celebration of Columbus and so forth, and lobbying but celebrating Bahamians, and fate had it that. It ended up being that, coincidentally. He even lobbied, I see one time, about celebrating a Bahamian hero. What are they? Black Kate. Yeah. I think he's one of the first persons who lobbied for that. And he's going back and forth. And I said, yeah, I like that. I'll lobby for it too. And now poor Black Kate, or Kate Moss, is now a national hero, recognized. So I want to celebrate you for spreading that news or agitating for that change, educating us for the need. But now we have, it's no longer Columbus Day, it's Heroes Day.
Yeah, National Heroes Day.
Where we celebrate our own national heroes.
Right, it's a much more fitting thing. Now, ironically and kind of sinisterly, you know, when you look at, you know, North America and other parts in the Americas, most of them actually call it Indigenous People's Day.
We kill our indigenous people.
Exactly, right? So we know that our indigenous people were in fact considered extinct culturally. And that was because of people like Christopher Columbus, Amerigo Vespucci, and Ponce de Leon.
You see how you said it? Because of Columbus and Vespucci? Mm-hmm. I say because of the Europeans.
Yeah, because of the...
Like I don't like you just narrow it to one person and there's a whole... All of them.
Yeah, all of them benefited.
Okay, certainly. Because of Europeans. Because I see they're intentionally changing the narrative to say, we ain't taking no blame.
Well, these were the captains and the figureheads.
They had kings and queens. They were workers.
And they were working for, of course, Queen Isabella, King Ferdinand mostly.
Yeah, and whoever came.
And Portugal, I think it was King Miguel at the time. Mm-hmm. We know this, you know, and of course that's extremely unfortunate. And while we celebrate National Heroes Day, we should also remember what Columbus Day was, and that should not be lost upon itself too. How we were almost even duped into celebrating a man like Christopher Columbus, right? And of course, you yourself, though you wanted the statue to stay there, you weren't in line with celebrating Columbus. You were just acknowledging the significance of the event, and you were looking at it from a touristic economic standpoint.
Because, you're a historian.
Yeah.
Where is the Columbus statue now?
Well, I couldn't tell you.
No. See, I asked you that for a reason. You know why I asked you that for a reason.
I couldn't tell you where
so
it is.
So I can slow down that question.
I know where it isn't.
No, I can slow down that question. Where is the Columbus statue now?
No clue. But it's not where it was.
No. I see you adding on to my conversation because I want to get to why you're here. Right. Do you believe any of the Bohemian historians know where the Columbus statues is for sure right now? And the keyword is for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure the figureheads that be at AMMC would know where they are.
So you believe if I call, because you know I have his number, you believe if I call him up and say, you know exactly where the Columbus statue is and if it was fixed, refurbished, you think the head of AMMC would say that?
Boy, I don't know. You got to call and ask.
You see where I'm going, right?
Yeah, I see just where you're going.
But I'm still going to the narrative of our conversation, and forgive me for all of this. And just because Monday is a holiday.
Right.
Monday is no longer Columbus Day, no longer Discovery Day, no longer Indigenous Day, First Encounter Day.
Right.
Right? I came in, and Erin Green is coming to join me right now, and she's going to be leading the second part of the show later on after I finish this interview with Christopher Davis, historian at the Great Clifton Heritage, and he's having the event happening on Monday.
Right.
And that's why he's here. But I just want to go through this narrative right now, right?
Happy to.
When I was younger, I knew about Discovery Day.
Right.
That day was changed. It became First Encounter Day. No, actually, let me start back. When I was younger, it was Columbus Day.
Right.
That day was changed to Discovery Day. Then that day changed to First Encounter Day. And then they changed to Heroes Day as we correct our narrative about the day. A few people realize that the day has changed tremendously, or the naming of it has changed over the years. And I'm cool with that, right? I'm still saying that Columbus' encounter here is such a historical significance that it should be recognized.
Right.
It puts us on a global map, a global narrative. But that's not here or there, right? I just want to put that out and bait you earlier. And thanks for allowing me to bait you on that. When I ask you, where is the Columbus statue at this present time?
Right?
Because I the statue itself has a narrative of how it was built, why it was built, and so on. But today you are here for a specific reason. And since Erin Green is here now, and I want to start that part of the show, on Monday.
So on Monday, we're having a special event. They're at Clifton Heritage Park. You know,
to celebrate what?
We're actually celebrating National Heroes Day.
The new name for October 12th, Discovery Day. Go ahead.
And some of what we discussed just now, of course, would be highlighted. Both we're having three special tours on top of the regular operations at the park. So just so people know, you actually can come out to Clifton Heritage Park pretty much any day. And even if it's a day when I'm not working, people tend to call and request that I be there, and I have no problem doing that. So every day, including holidays and Sundays, you can actually come out to Clifton Heritage Park.
Wait, Clifton Heritage is now open on a Sunday?
Yeah, we were always open on Sunday.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
That's because you don't like camping.
There you go. So we always have, we have a lot of campers. We have a lot of people who come up. But this Monday, it's all going to be centered around national heroes, you know. And I know we're coming to the end, some say regatta season is over, even though they have a few festivals going on this day. And I always tell people on those holiday weekends who would have wanted to go to the Family Islands but didn't make it to the Family Islands, you know, it's good to come to Clifton Heritage Park. It's almost like an escape from Nassau on the island of Nook Sense, right? And the tours would be at 10 a.m., the first one will be at 10 a.m., the next one will be at noon, 12 noon, and then the last one will be at 2:30, and I'll be doing all of that, and we'll be talking, of course, about the Lucayans, what actually happened to them, getting in a lot more details of what actually happened, what actually led to their extinction. Of course, we're going to talk about the Loyalists, but in the brand new context, for those who familiar with my research and read my book, they know that when I talk about the Loyalists, I don't talk about it in the same way as other people. We talk about, you know, the monies that were generated in slavery, the actuality of the brutality and the terrorism that many of our ancestors suffered through. And interestingly, you know, October is a month that commemorates so many important things, particularly that are relevant to the Bahamas, right? So I do believe it's breast cancer is mm-hmm. one of those things, of course. Of course, we have the national heroes and the entire story of Columbus and indigenous people and contextualizing that. And I would like to add that it's extremely important that we sort of propel ourselves on a global scale, because the Bahamas, we are certainly central in telling this global story of Christopher Columbus.
We don't own Columbus, and we don't own the Lacayan story. We don't own
exactly
the narrative of the first encounter.
But hold on, Niri. We do own it because we are the first encounter.
It is that. But other people tell that story.
No, yeah, but we own it.
Yeah, we do own it because they got to mention us as they tell the story.
Change language. Right? I heard George W. Bush, George Bush Jr.,
Right.
I heard him on Discovery Day tell the Americans that Columbus' first encounter with the New World was in the United States of America. So I agree with you. I heard him. I watched him do that.
Yeah.
But it's ours. We own it. And they teef it. You have to remember to say that.
Right.
We own it. They teef it.
And I appreciate that. And I appreciate your correction. My point is that we need to claim it. In terms of ownership,
we need to demand that they acknowledge.
Certainly,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, certainly.
As an act of claiming it, I appreciate
it. And I appreciate
it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. And I think that I think we all of us in this room, as long as they preach in the choir, we all understand that we've been so deeply socially conditioned to have this very watered down narrative of our past. Like, we don't like to talk about genocide. We don't like to talk about slavery, of which slavery was a genocide. We don't like to talk about colonialism. Of course, we don't like to talk about race and racism and segregation and gentrification. We don't like to speak about these things. And it kind of goes in tandem with the importance of this public image. We want the white world to think there'd be nice black people here in the Bahamas. So we don't like to talk about the slave revolts and the attempted revolutions that actually happened there.
It's counterproductive, right? Like, to the tourism space.
Right.
Because you cannot remind your guests of the ever-present tension that sits under the surface. You can't remind them of that because as soon as it becomes real for them, they can't forget it. And so then their engagement in the country changes, which is not a problem unless we're not prepared for that, right?
Right.
We have to be able to receive it so that then they can come to the Bahamas and not feel guilty while at the same time acknowledging. Because the way that you come to the Bahamas and be in the Bahamas is reparations, right? So when you come, you don't walk the beach and just throw your trash anywhere because I'm a tourist and I paid plenty money to be here. You say to your children, no, we ain't dropping no trash. We're going to clean up after ourselves. And that is the price we pay for being able to enjoy the Bahamas.
Right.
The Clifton site is a sacred site.
Certainly it is.
Why is it sacred? Create a narrative for why Bahamians should venture that far, because it's a far drive from East Street. Why should they venture that far, particularly on this October 14th Monday holiday? Why they need to at least experience that sacred space? Because they even have a spot called Sacred Space
there. Yeah.
Why should Bahamians, even tourists, black and white Chinese Bahamians celebrate, commemorate, join in, and hear this narrative?
Well, you know, Clifton speaks to so many of us and speaks to the overall story of the Bahamas. And even long before we were called the Bahamas, you know, in this colonial space and the Lucayos, and what people don't understand, first of all, is a history that stretches back over a millennium, over 1,000 years, right? And we're talking about, of course, we know it now as Clifton or the Wiley Plantation, but in actuality, this was also the place on New Providence where the Lucayans actually lived. Right, and we've seen all of that evidence of pre-Columbian, communities in the Clifton area, right? And then on a philosophical side, of course, we know that a country's heritage is essentially what gives you identity, you know, and history is the great unifier as well. So even to use the overly conservative-minded American, typically of European descent, right, where they have this, they call themselves the blue-blooded Americans, right? Mm-hmm. And they have this sense, even though all of what they believe in is horribly skewed and out of context, all of these heroics about them establishing a country that they in fact stole,
existed.
Right, and that they in fact stole and then brought Africans and others over to build it for them, essentially, to put it in a nutshell. And yet there's this idea, and that is completely miscontextualized. However, even though it's quite negative, you could see how it unifies these people. And history is also meant to inspire. And I think that that is one of the areas that we went wrong. That's why I focus so much on my research, sort of on our story. And that's why when you look at a lot of my seminal research, you see your name. So you learn about Jem Dean, the leader of the Maroon community in Blue Hills. And you know that Dean is a common surname in the Bahamas. You know what I mean? You hear about the attempt. It was an attempt that they did commit arson. I should say the attempted, not really murder, but killing of their enslavers right there in Rum Key on the Strawn and the Patton plantation, you know, Patton, Strawn, you know, so bringing it closer to home. And that is why Clifton is so important. It's something that we could touch and feel that's actually tangible. And in our recent history, it's actually one of the few recent victories that I think that we had as a people when it was trying to be turned into yet another affluent gated community where most of us can afford to live. And now it's a heritage park. So it's our things. You know, this belonged to us. And it's very important, and it represents so many different aspects of our history right. as well.
From my perspective, the importance of going is to be there, mm-hmm. is to occupy the land, is to put your feet on the land, right? To be there. Because the whole thing is about land.
Yeah.
The whole transatlantic slave trade about land and extracting wealth from land.
Economics.
The incursion into the New World is about land. And to make it very real, my research has shown me that Malcolm X became most dangerous to the state when he joined with Indigenous Americans, right? They were mm-hmm. calling it aboriginal yeah. rights at that time.
Right.
That is the mm-hmm. moment when they decided that Malcolm X could no longer be a tool in life.
Right.
And was a mm-hmm. better tool for people, right? But mm-hmm. to occupy the land, that's why you yeah. need to go to Clifton Heritage on this holiday day to see how you feel when you're barefoot stand on that land.
Certainly.
I once heard a narrative that Clifton represents the tripod of three different groupings.
Yeah.
The Awaks, the Africans. But can European descendants, white Bahamians, be comfortable, can see their history also at Clifton?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And, you know, I don't even think anybody should worry about feeling comfortable because it makes actually both white and black Bahamians uncomfortable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even when you watch documentaries, anyone who really understands how mechanisms like slavery worked and how, and this is things that exacerbated racism, you know, it was a fair on both sides. Of course, not sympathizing with the enslaver, but they were in fear because they knew exactly what they were doing. And they knew if someone would do it to them, what they would have done. And so it was always that fear. And that was why you needed that violence. It was that violent cycle. Now, I would say this, you know, when you go off to university and you start to learn, say, political science, history, philosophy. You learn about things like the French Revolution, right? You weren't nowhere close to France. probably ain't no French people in the room. But why do we learn about things like the French Revolution? Or even they'll teach you about Spartacus and how they rose up against their Roman oppressors. Because freedom is actually a human thing. You understand? With the guy named Henry Louis Gates has the show Finding Your Roots. Mm-hmm. And I believe it, but I don't want to quote it wrong, but it was a very famous, you know, white celebrity who was on there. And he told them, oh, well, you know that your great-grandfather was actually murdered by a slave with a gardening tool. And the guy just kind of shrugged it off. He's like, good, he probably deserved it, you know. But he's probably a guy that has an understanding of history, right? And I think that it's also a political thing as well. You know, race is also a big part of politics and vice versa. And so within that political aspect of history, that is where you find people feeling uncomfortable. But I don't think it's any reason to be uncomfortable because it's a part of our history, it's a part of who we are. And I think that people need to know that this nation was built on the back of enslaved Africans. And as a matter of fact, if any Bahamian of any race comes out there and they express any sentiment of, oh, well, maybe we shouldn't talk about this, you know, that is extremely problematic, you know. So it's like you would prefer us to remain ignorant of who we actually are. And when I think we, and of course it's not all about the struggle, because out there we teach a lot about African history, African heritage, the fact that our history don't begin as slaves, right? But at the same time, when we are exposed to the traumas that our ancestors been through, the only thing that could do in this present day and time, particularly in a small nation like the Bahamas, is bring us closer together. Mm-hmm. So if you hear about the Exuma-Pompey revolt and you heard how that spread throughout Exuma to the Fergusons and the Sayers and even the Davises from Barry Tari area and all these different...
Call surnames when you at the site.
Oh yeah, certainly. Like I said, I like to bring it close to home, right? And sometimes we do encounter people who do get uncomfortable, but it's all a part of the learning process. And I think that at the end of the day, it's more important that we have a truthful narrative of where we're coming from and who we truly are.
So before we transition, right, and I see we have a caller, I include the caller too, I want you to remind us what is happening again on Monday, October 14th. Remind us on why we should come out there this Monday.
Well, Monday, October 14th, we're having an event at Clifton Heritage Park. Of course, we're celebrating National Heroes Day, and that's going to be a major theme. It's going to be a family event. The tours will only be $10. One is at 10 a.m., one is at 12 noon, and the other one is at 2:30. And with your $10 after the tour, you actually get beach access. We'll also have drinks and snacks.
Oh, so it could be a beach day.
Yeah, you could have your beach day. You could spend the full day out there at Clifton. And for all the reasons we spoke about just now, you know, our history is extremely important to us and we need to know it. I think that that is one of the few good things that has been happening recently, in my opinion, unequivocally, you know, on this kind of new interest in the continent of Africa and connecting closer with the African diaspora as opposed to always looking where we always looked, right? And in tandem with that, it's not just myself, you know, you mentioned how I call her Saint Kate, but poor Black Kate, Kate Moss, is recently inducted, and that's just not from my lobbying and the work that I've done. But of course, it was really spurred on by the publishing of Dr. Ian Strawn's book about or novel, I should say, that's about her. That's a sort of mixture of history and what we call historical fiction. Not that the book is not factual, but historical fiction. You know, so I think that in that regard and the conversations we have here, you know, I listen to your shows a lot, and y'all always drop in historical there. And oftentimes applying it to times today. I know that Sister Erin always have her terminology, plantation, economics, plantation models,
education systems.
And that's a brilliant short statement that, of course, acknowledges the fact that, hey, and people try to play it off like, oh, y'all only want to talk about slavery. No, this is literally our reality. Mm-hmm. You can't disregard. And even in the Bahamas, of course, in other countries it's worse, but even in the Bahamas, we have been under enslavement, chattel slavery, longer than we have been out of it. Mm-hmm. And I think within the next decade, then it will be about even. So we have actually been enslaved longer than we have been not enslaved in the Bahamas, you see? So you can't just disregard all of these things, right? And then we know, we like to call ourselves a passive people. And for me, that's a two-sided coin. So, on this, of course, when you understand that we fought for freedom, we probably had the most runaways per capita. We had slave revolts. We had attempted arsons, all of these things. And then when you bring it today, our issues of conflict resolution, so many murders, so many small situations that could be solved with just somebody swallowing their pride or walking away.
Or acknowledging their wrong,
right? The way that we sort of treat each other on the road, the way that we drive, all of that.
We have a caller who wants to engage. Clifton Heritage is having a event on Monday. It's starting at what time?
Well, the first tour starts at 10.
Yeah,
we can be out 10. There pretty much all day until evening time. The first tour starts at 10. So I would encourage people to come out there probably about 9:15, 9:30.
There'll be food on sale too.
There'll be food and drinks out there.
I was going to work, Mr. Nure, and then I heard the news that it's actually a holiday. And so I look at my boss. I say, boss man, what's happening?
Yeah, what's happening?
We have some living history out there too. Yeah. Nice and interactive for the kids. It'll be fun.
Let's go to get to this call here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Nuri, Aaron, and Chris.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Yeah, listen, man. I like how you mentioned Amerigo Vespucci, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, to the reason, we know that's his story. And so with Aaron as the plantation, I call it the re-education, right? So something you said, you know, really with his story and the diversion of the truth, right? Mm-hmm. Then my mind went on Memnon, right? A great Ethiopian warrior who had many victories. But what I realized is Mum, who was known as Eos, they referred to African women as goddesses, right?
Right.
And we don't hear that terminology no more. Like, you know, you understand what I'm saying, Chris?
Right, I understand.
Why is it that we cannot refer to our heroes as goddesses?
Right.
And so I'm looking at this. Memnon was actually a real warrior who fought against the Greeks during the Trojan War, and it is said that he lost against Achilles, right? Which I don't really believe, but that is their story.
Right.
And then we know that Moors were on the ships by Columbus, showing them how to navigate. The Moors had ruled Spain for 700 years.
Right.
So this is where they got a lot of their knowledge from, and most people don't know that. Really and truly, they know about Africa because of Africans' presence in Europe.
Right.
And so I just, Aaron is very learned, but I wanted to remind Aaron of the lexicology of the word Aboriginal. I'm guilty myself of using it.
Right, but 52, that's why I said what they called at the time.
Exactly.
Right, that's what they called it, but it has a negative.
Certainly.
Yeah. Chris, continue to enlighten me. Give thanks.
As you do us.
Right, certainly. Yeah, and you're certainly correct about that. As a matter of fact, one of Columbus's main pilots was a man named Pedro Alonso Nino de Moura. And the African presence on those first voyages of Columbus is quite nuanced. There are those that we can celebrate and those that we can't. I'll just put it that way. But yeah, it's quite interesting. And those who want to hear more about it can always come to see me this Monday while we celebrate National Heroes Day. I think this is a great time to have those discussions because it's all within context of the season.
That was Christopher Davis, who is one of the historian leads at the Clifton Heritage out in Clifton. Where is that? Clifton Pear? Clifton P? Yeah. Where is that?
Maybe our own thing. Clifton Heritage National Park.
Yeah. my dad used to give me the Clifton Pear to go fish. That's why I say call it Clifton Pear.
Well, you can't fish out there no more.
No.
At least not within the park grounds, of course.
Yeah. But you could fry fish.
Yeah, you can fry fish.
When you go camping.
But if you fry fish, you got to share with me, though. That's the rule.
Yes. We shall be right back to continue our conversation. As I'm going to start venting now and use Aaron as a soundboard. But thank you very much, Christopher Davis, for joining us.
Yes, thank you, my brother. Appreciate it.
We'll be right back.
Thank you.
The Grand Bahama, the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, De Gregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bala Boy on his phone. What you mean he take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh.
you don't want bullet hair, you say that. You know, she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and we'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick.
328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, this is C.A. Nuri. And of course, Erin Green is with me. And now I'm able to bait her in terms of my conversation and my venting earlier. The other day, 2 days ago actually, the other day, our Prime Minister gave a national address to the people. He gave a national address as the head of the DRM. And I was confused because he is not the head of the DRM. The DRM is an independent body constituted by the government, but it's an independent body and it was made independent to respond to disaster risk. But for some reason, our Prime Minister addressed the nation. Now, if our nation was under duress in terms of there's an impending hurricane, I can understand my Prime Minister addressing the nation. We were under a tropical storm watch. And I said, okay, but why is my Prime Minister addressing me, right? Surely we have put in a mechanism, machinery, that the head of the disaster, DRM, which is a disaster risk management, would come and address the nation. And I'm not picking at it, no. I'm trying to put things in perspective of how things should operate moving forward. The DRM is independent. It's not a political body, right? It means that if there is any kind of threat to the Bahamas, it is enacts and it brings in the various organizations to play. The Prime Minister decided that because of a rainstorm, and he made the point that because of our land being limestone, that the Bahamas is prone to flooding. And that we can't fix the flooding because it is what it is. That's what I interpreted from his speech, right? My point, when our Prime Minister speaks, that means I, as a Bahamian, needs to respond. If my Prime Minister speaks and addresses the nation and says an impending storm is coming, that means I must take it serious because it's now a national issue. That means I must go to the food store and panic buy because the Prime Minister speaking. If the Prime Minister closed the schools and businesses, that means it's an emergency. I must panic buy, right? The prestige the Prime Minister gives, the urgency the Prime Minister gives to a situation means I can no longer ignore because he's speaking of a position of authority. And for my position now, I'm saying he's the king. The king is now spoken. Now we need to respond. I need to understand this new body, this DRM. Who's in charge? When is it put into at responding to threats? I am now concerned whether it is an independent body or whether the prime minister is the head of the DRM and that he enacts it, right? And that is what I want to have my conversation on. Because I know Aaron did some research on it some time ago, not recently, right? But I want to understand this DRM and whether it's operating properly. Because I don't think it's operating properly. And if it's not, I need to put our prime minister in check. Put Aaron Sargent, who's in charge of it, the director, in check. Put those people who are in this body in check so they don't do it no more. You see, I ain't picking on them, you know. I ain't mad, you know. I just want our organizations to work properly. Right? You can't have a national address for Spry. You can't have a national address by the prime minister for Spry. Right? If the Bahamas had an impending hurricane coming, and we know that we weren't under threat. The meteorologist told us we're not under threat. They've said that it's going to be going to Florida and that the northern part of the Bahamas might get some rain. And I want to know if might get some rain, it warrants the prime minister to come. And I'm picking on, again, Aaron, I'm not picking on the prime minister, no. I think that public pressure of, it's raining so much, you shouldn't send the children up in this rain. When I was younger, we had more rain than that. Right? Mm-hmm. It rained, come and go. I want to know from future, if there's rain like that, can the prime minister say, well, we always flood in the Bahamas, therefore school closed?
I mean, he could say it, but if he did, he couldn't run again. If he did always flood, and we just get closed school, it indicates that you are unable to acknowledge the realities of your physical existence. You're unable to adapt. You're unable to create new policies to address the issues that arise from your changing landscape. You're unable to create policies that can be affected efficiently and effectively to address the changing culture and thus the changing behavior and practices of your citizens in light of these changes. They called for closing of school. You know why? Because they don't have a communication system. They don't have a logistics system that enables them to communicate with parents on short notice and enable the evacuation of students to a safe location. Right? It doesn't even have to be home. Why is it? Like, now that tornadoes have become a part of our everyday reality, do we have an evacuation plan where even if a parent cannot come to the school to pick up their child, the child is evacuated to a particular location and the parent knows where to find the child? The children can't walk to school in Spry because everything floods and the drivers have no regard for other humans and splash the people. The bus stops are all located where the water settles. So even when you're waiting for the bus in the proper place, you risk getting splashed. The bus stops are not covered. And so in a country, like you say, when I grew up, when I was a young child, like in the summer, it rained every day for every a portion day? Of the day.
And when I say every day, talk about Monday straight to Friday.
Right, for a portion of the day. And so, I mean, we don't even, but all of the back-to-school giveaways where these benefactors, these benevolent benefactors could find containers of school bags and pencils and paper and books, notebooks, nobody decided that they're going to get 100,000 rubber boots for students at school and ensure the integrity of their shoes.
Let me stop you there and ask you this question. Our Prime Minister came and addressed the nation and closed schools and some government businesses for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
What was the threat? It wasn't the hurricane, because he closed before the hurricane.
Right, the weather that we were experiencing was not associated with Milton. It was another weather system sitting over the Bahamas, right?
Yes.
And then Milton came in behind. So the only thing I could consider is this, is that the greatest risk, right? And although it may have been unlikely, the risk still presented itself, that if Milton picked up speed and connected with the system sitting over the extreme Northwest Territory.
I was forced to stop you.
Okay.
There's a hurricane warning, hurricane watch, and then there's the hurricane. For what you're saying, those things need to pass first. Right? So you're now creating a hypothetical situation without assessing that now, there's no warning or watch happened yet.
Here's the thing.
So why acknowledge that? There was no watch. There's no warning.
Here's the thing that is known but unsaid. The thing that is known but unsaid. That only makes sense. What I put on the table, right? The potential risk of Milton picking up speed and hitting the superstorm. And then you say, but Green, there was time. We would have gotten a hurricane. We had a warning, then we would have had a watch, right? Tropical storm to hurricane. We would have had sufficient time to operationalize evacuations and closings of schools if necessary. And what I offer to you is a properly functioning government would have had enough time. But obviously the prime minister is aware that the capacity of his government right now could not make that decision in that amount of time.
One of the school officials says because of flooding, that's why school had to close, right? We know that our streets now flood because of spray. We anticipate it'll be spraying a lot from now on. There will be flooding from now on, moving forward. Mm-hmm. Are we planning to close schools from now on because of spray and flooding? Or because, you know, the sidewalks tends to flood.
Yeah, because they build those nice low sidewalks.
They're not fixing it, Aaron. That's where I'm getting at.
Yeah.
The issues that we have is not hurricane related. The issues that we have is structure that we're not fixing.
It's infrastructure related and speaks directly to not just a dereliction of duty in terms of maintaining public infrastructure, but also a dereliction of duty in terms of ensuring that you enhance public infrastructure in the existing environment. So like you say, you, the prime minister, you have a climate change unit. You are across the globe chastising developed countries for not donating or contributing or diverting sufficient resources to the climate change issue. But like you said, you had a sidewalk exercise. The man, look here, the contractor mad at me right now. Good morning, Mr. Coconut Man. The contractor mad at me right now because when I was driving on Wolf Road past Jerome Fitzgerald's office, when they were putting in the new sidewalks, I asked him, so where are you going to put the drain? And if I tell y'all how mad he is at me, it includes victimization because I asked the question. Hold on. Good morning, Mr. Coconut Man. I asked the question. Where are you going to put the drains? Because the casual observer in traffic could see that you are not creating a solution for the issue that exists, which is that pedestrians in a walking zone meet flooded sidewalks every time it's spray.
This conversation is about something went wrong and correcting what went wrong, right? Something caused a mass rush. Something caused Bahamians to make a mad dash to food stores for a tropical storm.
Because
I know I want you to find out what happened to cause Bahamians to make a mad dash to food stores to buy them out for a tropical storm.
Okay, so a couple of things. Like the analogy is so perfect because it's like a perfect storm where like three small storms meet together and create a perfect storm. The first one is ignorance. We are not sufficiently informed about weather patterns and behavior and hurricanes and storms to be able to reason through to us, one. Two, the information that was available to us was not sufficiently clear for us to understand what was happening, right? So there's two, I said three, maybe it's two storms come together. But if we start right there, right? Like you said, anybody with sense would have known that the idea that Milton could meet up with the weather system sitting over Grand Bahama and turn into a superstorm is probably very unlikely.
It's negative zero.
Or that we would be unprepared for it, right? Mm-hmm. That you would just have to be ignorant to the way that not just storms operate, but how we report on weather events, right? The second one was a lack of clarity. If a prime minister gives a national address, you think it's a big deal. It's as simple as that.
There you go.
From you see a notice come on your WhatsApp like I did the same day. So that's the next thing. The notice for the national address came out on the same day as the national address. Many people thought, okay, this is a big deal. I'm not waiting for the prime minister to tell me this is a big deal. I go into the store now to prepare for what appears to be a big deal. Again, clarity on the state side, and perhaps they are unaware of not only what information we need to know, but how they need to deliver it for it to be effective.
This text is suggesting that they don't, that suggestion that Bahamians should not trust Bahamian weathermen. Right?
No, that I rebuke that.
The meteorologists told us exactly what was happening. They said that they have a system mm-hmm. in front of Milton mm-hmm. that will cause heavy rain. Mm-hmm. That Milton has no threat, definite threat towards the Bahamas, but it's going over Florida and more like it'd be a warning for the northern
Bahamas. What we would experience of
Bahamas.
Would be a tropical storm warning.
They said it's 2 days behind. These is information that our meteorologist gave us. We knew why it was raining, right? But something caused us to panic.
Pause. How many people actually receive the actual meteorology report and sit down and read it versus people who listen to a weather report on the news versus people who think Bahamian meteorologists are not to be trusted, so they only tune into North American weather channels, and they got caught up in the hype of the North American experience. And here's the next thing, Mr. Newry. Although Dorian was 5 years ago, no government could say it's recovered. The psychological weight of Dorian still lives with the entirety of the archipelago, not just the residents of Dorian, not just the residents of Dorian that have been displaced and settled in other islands. All of us now, anytime we hear storm coming, we panic. When we hear Category 5, we panic. But here's worse. You say the storm going to Florida, that's where he was going to escape the storm. That's where I was going to, right? That's in people's heads. Mm-hmm. And so now my plan B is destroyed because I can't go there if the storm turns and come here.
I obviously have a caller here, mm-hmm. but there's the term threats of possible flooding. We know Nassau flood.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime there's a king tide, Nassau flood.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know.
And not just Nassau, parts of New Providence, all parts of New Providence.
I want to know that if there are threats of flooding again, which is every other day,
mm-hmm.
will they close school? Will they close down clinics? From moving forward, all threats of flooding. Anytime we have a system where there's going to be plenty rain.
They may try, but maybe what it is that needs to happen is we need to give the government an explainer on what essential services mean, right? Education is essential for little children. You can't take the exam for them. You can't put the information in their brain, and you can't make them understand it. Those children need as many days in school as possible. And the idea that we would let an administrative crisis that has not been able to maintain public infrastructure sufficiently for people, including students, to live their ordinary lives and live up to their obligations. And all the children have to do is go to school. That's it. And you can't make it so that they could do that every day?
Kermit, this man been holding for a while. Give him 30 seconds and hear him out, please. We have 30 seconds for you, caller. That's the best I can do. Sorry about that. Call a girl once. Call a girl twice. No? Nothing? We're going to end the show now. I just wanted to vent moving forward. What I can try to do is I'm going to get Wayne Neely to come on the show sometime next week to explain what happened.
1,000 pirates and no rubber boots, but you're in to go to school in the water.